All right, welcome into the Red Sox Beat podcast on the CLNS Media Network. This episode presented by Roman and, of course, betonline.ag. And we are welcomed this week by Sean McAdam of the Boston Sports Journal. And one of the things we want to talk to you about, Sean, is the Red Sox pitching rotation as the season winds down. Season is over on Sunday, but there's definitely been some promising signs late in the year from some of the rookies. Looking ahead to 2021, you wrote this on Boston Sports Journal, the Red Sox might not be as far off from having a fully competent rotation. In fact, it may be even a pretty good one heading into the 2021 season.
Yeah, certainly the last couple of weeks, John, have highlighted the emergence of Tanner Houck, who has been, if not a revelation, then certainly someone who has exceeded expectations for him. This is someone that has been a number one draft pick, but there were some questions about his readiness to major league hitters out. And through two outings, and I stress that you can't overstate what that means.
Another thing we look at as we're winding down the season, and again, it's not, there's no certainty here. And many people thought he might not have made it through this year, but Jackie Bradley Jr., there's going to be a question mark there. You're wondering whether we're seeing Bradley's uniform be a bitter one to swallow, because he's really, you know, despite some inconsistent play at the plate, he's really been someone who's been a joy to watch all these years, both, you know, what he does off the field and what he stands for, but just watching him, you know, patrol the outfield and just a really special player. How do you see this offseason going with the Red Sox and Jackie?
I think it's going to be a fascinating case to watch, because I believe the Red Sox will want to retain Jackie Bradley Jr., of course, at a price. They're not about to write a blank check for Jackie Bradley Jr. He does, as you referenced, have some limitations in his game. Most obviously, offensive consistency. Although, ironically, in his walk year, this has been his most consistent season. And he is in line right now to finish not only with the highest batting average of his career, but also the highest on-base percentage. So that will only bolster his appeal on the free agent market. He could make the case that he's finally unlocked some things and that he's going to be more consistent going forward. As I said, I think they will make an effort to retain him, but it will require Bradley to accept less money than he made this year, even before we get into the prorated mess. He had an $11 million arbitration decided salary for 2020. And while the Red Sox might want to try to keep him on a 2 or 3 year deal, they will want a lower AAV than that. What we don't know is what will the free agent market look like this year because of what's happened economically to the game, with no fans in the stands, a 60-game schedule, and a precipitous drop in revenue for owners across the game. That's certainly going to lead to a reckoning for free agents. The question is, how big a drop? And of course, there's this to consider. Bradley is represented by Scott Boras, who is known to drive a hard bargain, not compromise, and sort of shut out any suggestions that owners are in line to reduce what they spend on free agents. I think Bradley would like to stay. It's a matter, can they meet in the middle where they can give him enough so that he figures he's being compensated fairly and they bring him back? It would be a shame if he left, because I think he's probably been the best center fielder for the Red Sox in my lifetime defensively. He's fun to watch. And what will help his case at least somewhat, John, is that teams are now valuing defense more than ever. And he is, of course, an elite defender.
All right, Sean, hang in there 1 second. I want to tell you about our sponsor, which is Roman. Talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy. Usually we just brush it off or blame ourselves, saying things like, I lost my mojo, or maybe we should avoid it altogether, with excuses like, I had a long day at work, sorry, honey. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation, ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free 2-day shipping. The whole process, straightforward, simple, and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/socks and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now with Roman, it's much, much easier. Complete an online visit today and connect with a healthcare professional and get it taken care of. Go to Roman.com/socks today. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's GetRoman.com/socks. All right, back now with Sean McAdam. And another huge question, Sean, heading into the offseason is going to be the future of manager Ron Renicki, who, by all accounts, has acquitted himself very well in what was a really tough season for him to be handed the reins here. But there's always that kind of feeling that he's just been a placeholder for the next manager, who might very well be the old manager in Alex Cora. Again, it's hard to know exactly, but where do you land on this? How do you see Renicki's future, and do you see Alex Cora possibly walking back through that door?
Well, let's take Renicki first. Yeah. I think it's difficult, if not impossible, for the Red Sox to say, coming off what is going to be probably their worst record in decades and decades. You might have to go back to the 1930s to find a winning percentage as poor as this one. And unfortunately for Renicki, we live in an age where optics and perception and appeal to the fan base very much drives some of these decisions. And I see it as impossible for the Red Sox to come out and say that they're going to bring back the guy who just managed the team to a last place finish. Even though, as you referenced, much of this was way beyond his purview. He was right. Just dealt a bad hand, a pitching staff that was not, by any stretch of the imagination, of major league caliber.
Even calling them 4A would have been a stretch for much of the year.
Exactly. I mean, they're running out 16 different starting pitchers in the first 56 games of this shortened schedule, and injuries everywhere. It was simply a no-win proposition for Ron Renicki. And I think in many ways, he has done the best he could with what he was presented. He's tried to stay positive. He has, for the most part, I think, got these guys continuing to play hard through difficult circumstances. Yep. He said the right things. He's a good, solid baseball guy. And it's unfortunate that this second chance that he got, waiting another 5 or 6 years after being let go in Milwaukee, was one in which everything was kind of stacked against him.
But before you move to Corey, you do get the sense that he kind of knew that this was what the deal was, too. Would you agree?
Yeah. I mean, when he was appointed, he was actually finishing out the coaching contract that he signed 3 years ago when he was hired as the bench coach for Alex Cora. And when they appointed him, first on an interim basis and then later in April, the official manager for 2020, they did nothing to address kind of the lame duck status of his contractual situation. It was just, well, we'll give you a boost in pay over what you were going to be paid as the presumptive bench coach had Cora returned, but we're not giving you any security beyond the end of September. That should have been the first clue that perhaps this was a short-term arrangement. He was familiar with the roster, and let's see what he does over the next few months and make a decision going forward. And as I said, the record and the last place finish kind of dooms any chances of him being extended past this Sunday.
All right, Sean, hang in there 1 second. I want to tell you about one of our sponsors, which of course is betonline.ag. The wait is finally over and football is back. We're now heading into week 3. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action with BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on everything imaginable this season, from game spreads and totals to teams, players, and coaching props. BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any place online. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on the win, division, championship, everything, Super Bowl futures today. Head to BetOnline today. Take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Once again, that's BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Moving on to Cora, again, whether it's always been, whether this is a fait accompli and it's known, or it's just a very strong possibility, if he does come back, first off, how do you handicap this? And second, if he does come back, are you looking at full acceptance here? Is there any resentment? Will there be backlash? Or does it feel like he largely escaped, the kind of the wrath of Major League Baseball and the public for his role in the cheating scandal with the Astros? It feels like he's going to come out of this fairly clean.
Well, I mean, he has been suspended for a full season.
Sure.
And he was essentially fired, although the Red Sox will remind you that the key phrase is mutually agreed to part ways.
Yep.
Nonetheless, his punishment is every bit as severe as A.J. Hinch, who was the manager and presumably the guy in charge in Houston. So as the top lieutenant, Cora suffered the same penalty that the guy who was running the show. So
sure.
I don't think he got off lightly. He lost a year of salary. He lost. He was exiled from the game for all of 2020, and his reputation is at least somewhat tarnished by his association with that season. Does he come back? I think it's on the table.
Here's
how I see it. I think the players would absolutely welcome Alex Cora back with open arms. I don't say that in that they have rejected Ron Renicky or never paid attention or listened to him. But Cora obviously had a bond with most of the players on that roster, and they would welcome him back for 2021 going forward. I think also upper management and ownership have a strong affection for Alex Cora. I think they were sort of guilted into making the decision they did back in January to let him go. I think that there was probably some pressure from Major League Baseball to do so. They did so reluctantly, but knowing they had to do it. That said, I think they would welcome him back with open arms. The X factor here is Chaim Bloom. He's the guy who's the chief baseball officer.
Right.
He was hired by the owners several months before Cora left.
To run it his way. Exactly. Right. Yeah.
So, you know, while the owners are saying and whispering, you know, we'd be okay with Cora coming back and the players sure would like it, and it would probably play well with the fan base. Ultimately, Bloom has to decide, is this the guy?
It's got to be his idea.
Pitch my way to, and am I okay signing off on his return? My sense is that Bloom would have no great objection to Cora. How could you? This is a guy in 2 years, certainly in his first year, who directed a team to 108 wins and a dominant World Series championship. His credentials are in order. It's a matter of, does Bloom want Cora to be his guy for the next 5-6 seasons? Or is there someone else out there that he would prefer to mold as his manager and perhaps have a little bit more sway with, while Cora can come in with his own credentials and certainly has to acquiesce to Bloom on personnel decisions? But would there be any clash there? I don't think it would be great. I'm not willing to say it's a slam dunk that Alex Cora comes back, but it's certainly on the table and
white. And when I was talking about reputation, I more mean, you know, Cora got hit hard, but I feel like the perception around his involvement changed some, where in the early days it was perceived as the ringleader, and then he brought the whole operation to Boston. And when the Red Sox were cleared and more stuff came out about how deep this ran in the Houston organization, I feel like Cora, the initial reaction was he's got to go. And I really feel like that's subsided. So I do agree that bringing him back is something that most people, fans, organizationally, the players would probably be on board with, where, that's something that people can live with now, where the initial stages of it, it didn't look like that would be the case.
Right. And if the main stain on Cora's reputation is what he did in Houston
elsewhere
4 years ago, that's their problem.
Yep.
Who cares? He was largely absolved here. So that's an easy hurdle to overcome.
Yeah. The manager thing is interesting too. It's not by any means comparable, but certainly you had in the first years of Ben, in the managerial situation. You had ownership intervention with Bobby Valentine, and that couldn't.
That worked out well.
There's for, personally, Sean, when we were together at NBC Sports Boston at the time, that's as much fun as I've had covering the Red Sox. You know, what a circus ride that was, but you can't possibly have anything go worse than that. So, I mean, while no one's going to compare Cora to Bobby Valentine, somewhere in the back of ownership's mind, they have to be thinking, like, I really can't force my guy here, can I?
Yeah, I think that ultimately they make their thoughts known to Heim Bloom.
Yeah.
But if they're doing this the right way, the rest of that presentation ends with, however, we hired you to run baseball operations. You know our feelings, but ultimately, this is your choice. That's the way to handle it.
Yep. Okay. Well, Sean McAdam, thank you very much. This has been the Red Sox Beat Podcast on the CLNS Media Network. Sean, thanks again.
Thanks, John.